Hi guys, this is Michael Parker, and along with my co-host Ben Cohen, I am so pleased to bring you episode 13 of the Bantercast. In this episode, we talk about mental health and how stress, anxiety, and mental health issues can impact your life. I share a story from my own life, and I talk about when basically stress, anxiety, and work led me to be hospitalized a few years ago. And the sort of lessons I took away from that, and hopefully some lessons that you can take away to maybe help you if you ever go undergo stress. If you guys have a chance, please do check out our Patreon page. Patreon is sort of the main hub for our podcast, and for as little as $3 a month, you can support us and get access to exclusive content as well. So please do check that out. Otherwise, enjoy episode 13.
To say banter or bants over and over again, there's not a substitute for actual amusing conversation.
I'm the Archbishop of Banterbury.
You're the Phantom of the Opera.
Welcome to the Bantercast.
We're live.
British live.
British live. What the fuck does that mean?
I think we've decided British live is not live.
It's not live. So this is not live.
This is not live.
It could be live.
But maybe it is.
We could be fucking with you.
Somewhere.
Yeah. But somehow. This is the Bantercast stress and panic episode. Stress and panic, which means doesn't mean that you should stress and panic.
You should not stress.
You should not stress
and
or
you should
panic.
Not panic.
It means that we're going to try to get to the bottom of stress and panic.
Yeah.
And stop you from stressing and panic.
Yes.
While helping ourselves
avoiding
stress and panic.
Yes. Speaking of stress and panic, we had a bit of a panic last week because our entire episode got fucked up.
Yeah.
Because we don't have a producer and we need someone to help us. So if you guys would like to participate in the podcast and be a
sound engineers. We need sound engineers,
yeah.
DC based
sound engineers,
yeah.
Or people who just want to learn. I can teach you how to do everything and you can hang out with us and our amazing crew here. We just need someone who can help with the technical side of the podcast. And if you're interested in working with us in any way, we would love to have you as well. So
hit us up on Facebook.
For sure.
On the Bantercast Facebook page or on the Daily Banter Facebook page. You
yes.
can send me a message on that and I will look at it.
Send a nude.
Send nude photos. Send that to Michael's email address.
Yes.
At, no, I'm just kidding.
At Michael. Dot
XXX.
Dot XXX at browsers.com.
Browsers.com. What's that? I've never heard of that.
I've never heard of that either.
I've never heard
I just
of it either.
Thought I would, made up a word.
Yeah? Yeah. Browsers. Never heard
browsers,
of it.
Browsers. My yeah. browsers.
If you've heard of browsers, you know.
Speaking of a good way to avoid stress and panic.
What? Browsers?
Browsers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hang out with your browsers.
Some people are really probably not going to know what we're talking about.
No.
Yeah.
That, we should leave it there.
Yeah. Just don't Google it.
Don't Google it.
Don't Google browsers. Dot.
Whatever you do, don't Google it. You know what's very funny?
What?
Actually, I'm not going to talk about it. We'll talk about this. It's another episode to talk about. So, stress and panic, a super pertinent topic for us and I think for everybody who's starting a company or is in an early stage company or actually generally is just living
or just people, in modern
if you're society.
A human in a capitalist society, you're probably feeling stress and panic quite often.
Almost certainly, yeah.
I think entrepreneurs are likely to feel it a bit. I don't know, maybe not, I don't know. I know that the uncertainty of being an entrepreneur definitely compounds it.
Yeah.
But then I also know people who suffer from stress and panic who are not entrepreneurs,
yeah.
who just have regular jobs.
I think so. I think, first of all, it's a super, super important topic because stress is such a killer.
Why are we talking about it? Because do you want to talk
yeah,
a little bit?
I'll talk about, for me, in my history of like stress and panic and you know, why it's important to me. I think, so a few years ago, I had my first ever panic attack. I never had one in the past. I never had any issues with panic attacks. I never had any anxieties, like serious ones where, you know, you want to see a professional, ever. Mm-hmm. I started a company very young. I was 21 when we started.
So last year.
Yeah, exactly, last year.
Yeah.
40 years ago. Which is, it's weird to think how not long ago that was and how long ago that feels. It feels like I aged like 30 years in that time. But maybe because I'm just over 30 now. That's what happens. But essentially what happened was in starting this company, and I think a lot of people can probably relate to this, I worked you know, 60, 70 hours a week for 5 or 6 years without really stopping. And on top of that, I was, you know, working with, I started becoming with my mom, and she was going through a lot of stress, and just watching her kind of dealing with the stress, and eventually both of us were hospitalized because of stress.
Wow, both of you.
Yeah, and we both had to separately like drive each other to the hospital as a result of stress.
Different times. Wow.
Yeah. So what happened to me was we were going through a pretty scary time in the company. It was maybe 4 or 5 years in, and I was working a lot, and I had a really difficult group of customers, and whatever. This is all kind of a story, but what essentially happened was I had a full blown panic attack. I was just standing there, and basically my entire I've learned about what panic attacks were since then. My entire like fight or flight hippocampus is like completely inflamed, and I just felt like I was going to die. I thought I was going to have a heart attack. My entire body just seized up because I was breathing so much without knowing it, fast that I basically had too much carbon dioxide in my body. My entire body froze. Like my fingers just like twisted.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, fuck, I'm going to die. And I fully thought I was going to die at that point. It was like full-blown panic attack. So we go to the hospital, and I'm like, this is it. And
your mom took you?
My mom took us. We were working. And I think it was maybe 7 or 8 o'clock at night. And I was like, I need you to take me to the hospital. I think I'm having a heart attack. And she's like, oh, my God, okay, let's take you. And then it was funny now, she couldn't find the entrance. So I was sitting there, like, thinking I was going to die. I was like, fuck, this is great. And we get there, and, you know, the doctor there is like explains to me, like, you're not having a heart attack. They look me up to EKG. They said you're having a panic attack. And I was like, what? I was like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And they kind of helped me, they talked me on how to, like, relax a little bit, and they gave me some drugs.
Yeah.
And the drugs really helped. And
the drugs work.
It worked great.
The moral of the story here is we can just cut the podcast short.
Yeah, take drugs.
How you to deal with stress and panic? Just take drugs. What kind of drugs?
I don't know.
Hardcore ones.
I don't know. It was funny. What I was sitting in a hospital bed, and I started to laugh because we were writing this proposal for this like really kind of I found it to be quite uninteresting. Like the equivalent of like the TPS reports from like, you know, like the
you're already boring me, mate.
Exactly. Yeah. Super boring.
Yeah.
And I was just laughing to myself thinking like, wow, this is like dumb, boring bullshit that I don't want to do is going to kill me. That's just fucking hilarious. Like of all the shit that could have killed me, like I imagine like my grandfather who like is fighting, who fought in World War II, Guadalcanal, my other grandfather who like fought the Japanese in China.
Those,
you know, I've escaped bombings. I've escaped like shootings. All these fucking things that could kill me. It's gonna be this boring consulting bullshit. I started laughing, and at that point I knew I was fine. Anyway, what happened after that point is that I started having these things more regularly. Like I thought I was kind of over it, but I think whatever kind of system short circuit happened in my body, just I started having these things regularly. Like I started becoming claustrophobic. I started I remember I was on a plane one time, and I was just like, fuck, I'm having a full panic attack. Like my whole body heats up. I can't breathe. I feel like I'm gonna, you know, it's this, and I know what it is. I know that I'm fine.
Yeah, yeah.
But my it's basically my fight or flight system in my brain is just totally wonked out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And so I thought like, fuck. So I tried to deal with that. I went to a doctor. They gave me some anxiety medication.
What's Xanax? Is it something?
Xanax. Yeah. And I didn't, that actually made it worse because I started, when I didn't have Xanax on me, I started to panic. I started to be like, fuck, I'm going to have a panic attack. Like, maybe I'm having a panic attack right now. Am I having a panic attack? Is this a panic attack? Fuck, I'm having a panic attack. So I didn't want to be reliant on medication.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was like, fuck that, I'm not going to do that. Like, then I started thinking about, okay, what is going on here? And I started reading a lot about it and trying to understand what was happening to me.
Yeah.
And, you know, through that reading and through, you know, a lot of talking to a lot of people who had similar experiences, I kind of have a structure to deal with it.
Yeah.
And I found out how ridiculously common it is.
Oh yeah, yeah, it's very common.
I thought I was just a lunatic, the only person. Like I was just, I'd never heard anyone ever talking about like mental health stuff like this. It's just pure.
But it's good to like be to talk about this stuff because
yeah.
I'm always amazed at how many people I know.
several people who get panic attacks quite regularly.
Yeah.
And you would never know. If you talk to them, you think, oh, that's a cool person. They seem pretty relaxed and chill out.
Yeah.
The little would... Do you know that privately they deal with anxiety and panic disorder, which is just horrendous. I've seen it. I can relate to it a bit. I have experienced similar, not quite that, but like the symptoms I recognize.
Right, it's super debilitating. For a while, it meant that I couldn't take the subway, and I lived in New York. I couldn't take the subway. I felt like just I couldn't be in like. Crowded places. I couldn't. There are a lot of things that I like to do previously. I just
couldn't do them anymore.
If I was like, if I get on another fucking airplane, I'm gonna die. That's what it felt like, you know. And it took a lot away from my life. And now I'm fine. But like, you know, I couldn't get in an elevator. I had to take the stairs. Like these little things that I would just these little workarounds in your life that eventually kind of add up. And it's debilitating. And it's terrible. And it's totally fixable. It's totally fixable, and the way I fixed it was first just reading everything I could read about it, just trying to understand what was going on. I think having a mechanical sense of what was going on in my body helped me to kind of make it less personal, so it didn't feel like I was just a fucking weirdo, because I felt like a fucking weirdo for a while. And understanding, okay, like my body is suffering because I am not treating it well.
Right.
Like the number one thing I tell people. And actually, I don't talk about this too much, but I remember having a conversation with someone who, a company I invested in early, this guy was having trouble with mental health. He was just saying, like, I'm just really stressed out, and I'm having, like, these kind of panic attacks. And I was like, okay, let me explain, like, how I deal with this. Like, number one is drink water. Mm-hmm. Number two is eat healthy food. And number three is sleep. It's lifestyle that leads you. What happens is your body is under a lot of stress anyway, and... The number one stress indicators for the human body, which is a very ancient technology, basically is like, oh, there's some shit going wrong with my body right now, and we're not getting any food, we're not sleeping, we're not eating. Like there must be something seriously wrong, and also I'm experiencing all this fight or flight shit that's happening with me. Yeah. So your body's like, this isn't good. We gotta shut some shit down here. This is not good. So I think the number one thing is just to make sure that the taking care of the human body. In a holistic way.
Yeah.
And I think lifestyle is like 80% of it. It's just how you take care of yourself. It's the number one thing. Like I personally stopped taking the medication completely because I just don't want to be taking, I don't want to mess with my brain chemistry.
You don't want to be reliant on a pharmaceutical.
It messes with your brain chemistry. And I think the thing about Western medicine, it's very good at fixing like a single problem, like a sniper, like a laser. Like, okay, you have a problem with anxiety. We're going to give you this. No more anxiety.
Cut out the cancer.
Right, but then it fucks up the rest of your body.
Yeah.
So it's like, I didn't want to deal with that. I thought instead, I'll deal with the panic attacks every once in a while. Like, they'll still happen to me. Like, it happened to me yesterday. I had one, which was horrible. But
Was it full blown or was it like near?
It was
like,
near. It was near. It was like, this is going to happen.
Yeah.
I understand what's going on. Mm. I'm going to like breathe through it and kind of meditate my way through it and feel it. You feel it. It doesn't go away. Mm. Instead, if I took a drug, it would be totally gone. But it would have these other side effects that I didn't want to deal with.
And you hadn't dealt with the underlying
issue. Yeah, the underlying issue is like, number one is just... So just to kind of bring it back to... What I was going through before, it was going through that first kind of panic attack really fucked up my body and my mind for a number of years. Wow. And because I wasn't taking care of myself. And when you're young and you're busy, and especially if you have the obligation of a company and you have employees and you have customers and you have, you know, family, what you do is you say, okay, like I'm just going to put this all on the credit card. And I'm going to ignore everything that's happening to my body because if I don't, maybe this thing isn't going to work.
Yeah.
And I understand that calculus. I totally get it. But it will catch up to you and it can and does kill people.
Yeah. Yeah. I can relate to that of going through a very difficult period in the business a couple of years ago. I'm sure we've talked about this on the podcast before, but yeah, I remember having that and being in charge of a team and knowing that behind the scenes, on, you know, from the outside, if you looked at it, we were growing month after month after mm-hmm. month. We were writing great stories and, you know, getting mentioned. And we were, like, sort of referenced in, like, the New York Times, Washington Post, GQ Magazine. Like, you name it, mm-hmm. people knew who we were.
Mm.
And that was, like, but behind the scenes, you know, from a kind of financial point of view, what we were not doing well at all. In fact, the opposite, doing terribly. Just because this is how awful the internet content businesses, right? And I remember just having these things like, I'm just basically full of shit. Like, I just felt like I was full of shit. Like,
for sure.
I felt like I was
that imposter syndrome thing.
I'm an imposter. I'm an imposter. Yeah. You're not really real unless you're making money,
right?
And you can't claim to be anything if you're not making money. And I wasn't.
Right.
And then I had to put on this. I didn't want to panic any of my team.
Right.
So
you take it all on yourself.
Yeah, by saying, like, we're in dire straits.
Yeah. Yeah, for
you
sure.
So you're taking all of this stress and, like, there's no way out because you can't get help from anyone. And people who you're talking to for help, obviously they sympathize, but unless they've got, you know, $5 million
right.
you know, that they're willing to just hand over to a failing business, right?
For sure.
And who the so you're in, this is one of the dilemmas I faced. I was in, I'm like, okay, I can't go to anybody to help because you can't get money from anybody if you're fucked,
right? Because I'm not doing well, I need money.
Yeah, it's like asking to, like, invest in the Titanic, like, while it's on the course to head into an iceberg, right? You'd be like, I think I might, you know what I mean? I might look for some safer options. So you're like, you know this, so you just think you're on a sinking ship.
Yeah.
And there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah.
And you sit there.
And it's your whole life.
It's your whole life. Everything you've worked for, believed in, and, like, gone fucking broke. Like, I staked everything on it, you know?
Yeah.
Quit jobs, like, everything. You name it, I quit it. I gave it up to focus on this. And I knew that it wasn't working. And it looked great from the outside, but on the inside, it was the model was not there.
Right.
And I remember the waking up in the morning, waking up for a second and going, fuck, another day that I've got to deal with this.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And keeping on going. Totally and the wear on your body was...
Yeah.
And when it did collapse...
Yeah,
I felt great.
It's like, it's over, finally.
I was like, fuck for that. And then actually, like, I managed to rebuild it with a sustainable model because it burst.
Which was big for you.
It's great. You know, look, I'm not saying, you know, everything's fine and dandy right now. We're fine. But
stress manifests itself for people differently.
Yeah.
So what happens is it doesn't go away. If you're under stress and you think, oh, this morning I was stressed and now I feel fine tonight. No. What's happened is it's in there and it's going to manifest itself somewhere else.
Yeah.
Maybe it's going to be, like, for me, the way it manifests is like this full blown, like, panic attack. Okay. For other people, they might just drink a shitload more.
Yeah.
The other people, they have, you know, psychosomatic issues, like they flare up or they'll gain a lot of weight from out of nowhere, or it doesn't go away, or they'll have issues with their circulation, with their heart.
I have fibromyalgia.
Yeah, what's that?
It's a pain condition that is not very well understood, but they've now discovered that basically people who have, bizarrely enough, like, more sensitive nerve endings in their hands in particular,
ooh,
are susceptible to, it's a total body pain.
Wow.
Right, so tight jaw, neck.
What kind of pain is it?
It's like soreness and a stiffness, tenderness, like particularly in your jaw and your neck and your upper back and stuff like that. And when I'm stressed out, it flares up badly. And I know that that's now stress triggers that. So I don't get panic.
Right.
I get pain.
Wow.
And so I know that, you know, and it's probably a lot of it's directly related to kind of like business and how that's going. And even when it's going well, it's weird how, like...
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It
doesn't really matter. Like,
your body doesn't know the difference.
That's. If you just get caught thinking about things, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, what's happening in 5 years' time? Am I still going to be, you know, is my business going to survive in 2 years' time, 3 years' time, 4 years' time? And I can imagine it's the same if you have a job and you think, is my job secure?
Oh, yeah, you know, for sure.
Is this the career I want to be in?
I'm dealing with Randy in accounting, who's a douchebag.
He's a dickhead. And
for sure. It's a different type of stress, but it's still the same. Your body doesn't know the difference.
Doesn't know the difference. You know, your body can't tell. Like, do I have enough to get my kids into a good school? Or like, all this kind of stuff. I'm sure this is...
There's that study that said basically... If you take like an ice cream cone away from a 4-year-old, or like a 4-year-old, like, you know, loses like a parent, it's the same for that 4-year-old's brain. Like it does, like your body doesn't like distinguish like the pain, the stress and anxiety at that age.
Of something being taken away.
It's just like it's basically just like. Cortisol just floods into your hippocampus.
Stresses
to like write code into your brain like this is not good. Yeah. Don't let this happen again.
I mean, I think we're basically a chemical factory, right? A human being is a chemical factory, and what's been kind of pretty useful for me to learn that, like, you know, if you treat your body as a chemical factory, that you have to regulate, right?
Yeah.
You're in charge of regulating this system.
Yeah.
So what the fuck are you putting into it? Are you putting shit food? Are you putting fried food, sugar, like processed crap, full of additives and all that kind of stuff? Look, you're not going to be doing your chemical balance any favors.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I'm not a nutritionist. I'm not a dietitian or anything like that. But this is common sense, right?
Yeah.
That if you are putting... unnatural things into your body, things that your stomach has not evolved to digest or to uptake, right? You know, we are the product of millions of years of evolution. Our stomach, you know, industrial agriculture and processed foods is a very, very modern kind of phenomenon.
Yeah.
So our stomachs have not really caught up with the massive dietary changes that we've got in modern society. You can talk about that with loads of other things. I mean, you could talk about like chemical cleaners and things like that, and plastics and all this kind of stuff. We're living in a giant experiment, right?
For sure.
Of substances that don't occur naturally in nature that we surround ourselves with and eat.
Yeah. The most important thing, I think, one is that I guarantee you, you're under stress in some way or in some form. I guarantee it. I guarantee it to you. Like, our society is just a very stressed out society.
Yeah,
and
it really is.
And number two, it's probably the case, if you're anything like me, you have no idea that you're under stress, because it's not like something that you're, it's much deeper than your consciousness. It just impacts your consciousness. So it's like you don't see the machinery going on behind the background that's like under stress. Like the engine is like kind of doesn't have enough oil, and it's like you don't see that. So you don't feel like all this stuff was building in me over years. And I just didn't recognize the symptoms, because I was trying to do the whole macho, like, you know, stress is good. If you're stressed, that means you're successful.
Yeah.
You know, I thought like, the more stressed you are, the cooler and smarter and more successful you must be, because entrepreneurs are stressed out, and so I need to be stressed out. It's kind of like the stupid way I thought about it.
It's almost like a currency in
You talk about it like it's like, oh yeah, I'm working so much. Like, oh, I'm working so much. Like, yeah, isn't that great? Like, I work 70 hours. Like, oh yeah, that's great. You're a real entrepreneur. It's stupid.
It's dumb.
It's really stupid. Because a business is a 5 or 10 year project, and you can burn yourself out really quickly and burn yourself out forever if you don't take care of yourself and your body and the people around you. If you don't take care of the mental health people in your team and the people who are in your family or your friends, it's a huge deal. And we talk about going to yoga all the time. People talk about I see Instagram shots, people like doing yoga, and I see like people talking about going to the gym, and there's all kinds of gym selfies. The mental health thing is as important, if not more important, and nobody talks about it. No one mentions it. It's the silent killer. It's killing most Americans, by the way. It's like inflamed digestion, inflamed circulatory systems, all that's down to stress.
we do certain things when we're stressed. We eat a lot of sugar.
Yeah.
Because it boosts us. We drink a lot of caffeine, which stresses us out even more.
Just keeps you
we
waiting.
Drink no, alcohol.
Yeah.
We drink alcohol and we don't sleep. And we eat bad, shitty things. We put bad, shitty things in our body. All that, like, underlying fundamental foundational, like, elements of, you know, your day-to-day life affect your mood, your productivity, your emotions, your the people around you, your long-term sustainability as a human being on this earth, like, alive.
Yeah.
Any of these things, kind of things, you know, eventually, if you get to a certain point physiologically, you can't reverse them.
Yeah.
Like, if you eat, like, a lot of sugar, which happens when you're stressed out, and if you eat a lot of sugar and you're stressed, what happens is the sugar goes through and, like, shreds your circulatory system like glass, like, goes through it like glass. And then what happens is if you keep doing that, you get all the scar tissue inside your circulatory system that your body creates because it's like, oh, some shit's going bad. Like, we need to protect ourselves. And eventually your circulatory system just is so inflamed that you can't continue to pump through blood and your heart stops working. And that's how you die. That's how stress kills you. And you think it's because, you know, that you've got a bad heart. No, it's because your body's been in a fight or flight response for 20 years.
Right.
And undoing that when you can and while you can is super important.
Right.
And our society, especially, just like, if you just look at what's going on politically, how inflamed and stressed out people are, how they just, every little thing is like a nuclear explosion, like, we overreact overall, all that is a stress response.
Right.
All that is, like, you know, one more straw to break the camel's back. You know, like, if you have a, you know, sometimes it happens to me where I'm under a lot of stress and some little thing, it, like, sets me off. And that's because I'm not mentally healthy.
Right.
Because little things shouldn't set you off. You know what I mean? You should be, you know, so the mental health thing is so important. Like, even if you're not starting a business, it has nothing to do with, I mean, it's just to live longer and to be happier. It's so important. It's so, so important. And we don't talk about it.
It really is crazy, like, how I recognize I feel I'm getting better at recognizing it. So, like, I wake up and I'm in a, you know, not everything is, I'll be anxious about something.
Yeah.
And then I feel myself kind of being a dick, you know?
Right, yeah.
And I'm, like, not very nice to be around.
Yeah.
I don't want to be around me either.
Yeah.
I'm like, yo, I really don't want to be around me right now. So it's like the worst, it's a weird feeling of not wanting to be around me.
Yeah.
But then
cortisol.
Yeah, right. And I, you know, I have to say, like, for me, the discovery of meditation has been like a complete game changer, for me.
How do you think someone can discover that or look into that or start practicing?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it was an app that this is,
Headspace.
One of the jokes is like, don't, you know, it's almost like, how do you know that if someone's vegan? Like, don't worry,
they'll tell you.
They'll tell you.
Yeah.
It's almost like Headspace, like the joke. It's like, you know,
about
everyone's on the Headspace app.
Yeah. But
for a reason, right? Because it's, it kind of, using this app, and there's like a little course that kind of teaches you what the basics are of meditation and how, the guy who created the app, Andy something or other, really interesting guy, but the way that he described it to me was something that I could relate to. It wasn't, I tried meditation and stuff. I went to a meditation thing with a friend of mine and it was just a load of weirdos.
Too woo-woo.
It was too woo-woo and it was too, you know, I wasn't really, I'm not feeling that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And it wasn't articulated to me in a language that I could really understand.
For sure.
But this was, it was like, listen, your mind is, you think that thoughts are real, right? That the thoughts that you get carried away with the thoughts.
Yeah.
So something will pop into your head and you go, shit, I need to think about that. And then you go along with that thought as if it's real.
Right.
And meditation is the practice of just recognizing it for just being a thought.
Yeah.
Right? It's not real. It's just a thought. It can be real if you follow it.
Right.
Right? But then through meditation, over time, you get to be able to distance yourself. You get this little space from the thought, just a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Enough so that you can say, ah, it's a thought.
Yeah.
Don't have to follow the kind of chemical, because there's a chemical response, right? If you think of war and horror and Donald Trump and anger, it kind of creates a chemical response, right? Mm. But then if you go, okay, that's just a, if you recognize that and you say, okay, that's a thought, and the chemical response that I've had is a chemical response to that thought,
right?
Then you go, oh, okay, what if I think of something different?
Yeah.
Right? And then you keep practicing that. And then after time, you start to find this kind of like space in between thoughts.
Yeah.
When you're not thinking of anything.
Mm.
And that's the now, right? That's the present moment. And once you can kind of hold on to that for a bit, I just found that, you know, you'd have these amazing moments during meditation of calm. But then in my everyday life, I'd find these spaces more often. So I'd be driving and then I'd be like, fuck, I need to go and do this. I need to do that. And then I'd be like, oh, you know what? I'm not stressed out about it as I thought I might be, you know, and I can just, okay, all right. I just recognize it as, oh, that's another thought. I'm not going to, I'm not going to necessarily buy into that thought, you know, I'll pay attention to it, but I'm not going to, I'm not going to purchase that. I'm not going to kind of go all in. And that, you know, with practice over time, I mean, I've heard that Buddhists, I read a book on Tibetan meditation with this lama, I don't know, is that what you call the high?
Yeah.
Is he a lama?
Yeah,
or a Tibetan priest?
Yeah, lama's good.
But he had an interesting topic because in their philosophy, right? So, obviously, you raised as
a Buddhist. I was raised Buddhist, yeah. Both Buddhist and Christian at the same time, which is very confusing. For an 8-year-old boy.
Right. As he explained it to me, that in Buddhism there is no death.
Yeah, kind of.
There's just a continue. Like you,
if there's
you,
no self.
There is no self, right? Yeah. So there is basically dying is a transition into some other form of consciousness, right? Mm-hmm. It's just a continuation. So like in their philosophy, like if you die, if you say like, what happens when you die? What are you going to be like when you die? A Tibetan Buddhist will say, well, what are you like now?
Yeah.
That's what it's going to be like when you die. Right. So that when that was explained to me, that really made, and then the guy was saying that that's why meditation is the greatest gift that you can give yourself.
Right.
Right. Because you need to deal with your mind now.
Right.
Right. So that what you are now, if you're a bag of nerves and stress, and you think that when you die, it's all going to be, you know, rainbows and ponies and all that kind of stuff. There is no death.
Right.
There's just this. There is just this awareness. And the stress and the... This is what, you know, you're in samsara, right?
Yeah.
Which is in this kind of body, which is in this state of flux.
Tibetan Buddhism is really wild. Like, you probably can't see on the camera, but there's a really cool Tibetan tanka painting from a lama about, like... Tibetan Buddhism is wild, man. Like... It's so complicated and so crazy and amazing and beautiful and whoa.
Yeah,
so I mean, crazy amazing, yeah.
Take from it what you will, and you don't have to buy into the whole, you know, there are certain aspects of it I find a little hard to swallow, but even if you believe that you die and that's it, and that's cool, whatever you believe, it doesn't really matter, but I thought it was an interesting way of looking at it.
Yeah.
That like, let's just say that your consciousness just continues after your physical death, right?
Mm-hmm.
You better take care of that shit now.
Yeah.
There is no more time for you to take care of it. You take care of it now.
Yeah.
So the more you take care of it now, the more part of the oneness that you can become.
And I think like a calm person, like a truly calm person who's like happy and in a good place, it like really impacts an entire room of people.
Oh yeah,
it's amazing when you're just like really, really chill and in a not like dead inside, but like you're just like really calm and kind of a little bit happy.
Mm.
I love the way it kind of just starts like
seeping
into the room.
Yeah.
And I've kind of noticed that like, when I'm in a good place, like I feel like my team's in a good place. I feel like it just. It's so contagious.
It's a flow state.
Yeah, so you don't just do it for yourself. You really do it to just put people in a good, happy place.
Yeah.
And
it's quite hard, though, when shit hits the fan.
It's really hard. It's a practice. And I think also one thing like I've come to accept is that you're gonna, at least for me, I'm like, this is my life now. I have panic attacks sometimes. Like, I wish I didn't. Mm. I wish like I didn't have that problem, and maybe I can get there through like better taking care of my body better and meditation or whatever, and yoga or whatever exercise. I want to be in a place where like they don't happen, but like that is me. I have them. So accepting them and like letting them kind of pass instead of like trying to hold on and it, you know, just saying like, okay, this is happening. And I try to let it do its thing and let it kind of go flow through me, because, you know, the worst thing I think that can happen is if you like try to like, if you try to like really fight it, because it's, you're not going to win.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you know, when I've been, you know, with someone, I've actually been with people having panic attacks, maybe someone having a panic attack.
It's scary.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. It's terrifying. And obviously more so for them than it is for me.
Yeah. You're the real victim.
I'm the real victim. Yeah. Right? No. But like I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen firsthand. And you know, through my own experiences in high stress situations, I think a lot of the time, like, you know, having done martial arts for a long time, and being put into immensely physically difficult, there's no harder a situation than when you're getting the shit kicked out of you,
definitely,
right, by someone who, you know, but like one of the tricks that I figured out was an ability to stay calm during the most intense moments in combat, right? And breathing, and just going, just breathing in and breathing in through the nose, breathing out through the mouth while everything is going wrong.
Why is it in through the nose, out through the mouth? I've always wondered that.
I don't know. It's a good question. Well, swimmers do it the other way around.
They do? In through the mouth. Oh, yeah. That's right.
Breathing through your nose. If you're
thin. I've always wondered that, because like, they always teach you not to breathe through your mouth. Mm. And I always wondered why.
I think maybe I've heard that the nose, the hairs in your nose act as a filter, cleans.
Could be.
I've just pulled that out.
I don't know.
But I know that's definitely part of it.
They always tell you, and I've always wondered why.
Why? Yeah, I think so.
What I've noticed is that when you do it, when you do breathe through your nose, it's like a more constricted hole. So you breathe slower, and you don't get like too much carbon dioxide in your muscles and freeze up. Yeah. I think that might be part of it. But I think like...
I'm sure there's a reason.
The thing to remember as well is that like... you know, a lot of people go through this. A lot of people are going through it all the time, and not to think that there's something like really, really wrong with you. It's totally a normal human reaction, and talking about it helps a lot. And I also think that the real way to prevent them happening is like, you know, 3 months ago when you like, you know, when you weren't exercising or eating, you know, like it's like this, the sad truth is like, there's no really good acute, like immediate solution to like stopping whatever's happening to you, whatever stress response you're having, because it's a lifestyle thing that builds slowly. And then once it builds a certain point, it just collapses and then you deal with it.
Treating it in that way, sadly, there's no...
So you have to just let it happen.
Yeah.
Try to breathe through it and make sure you're drinking water. Make sure you're not taking caffeine. Mm. Caffeine is a big stress enhancer.
Right.
Because it's like taking speed. And you can have a coffee, but, you know, you got to limit yourself and you have to be careful. And you have to make sure you're... Because it dehydrates you. Mm. It's a diuretic. And it... Your heart starts beating, and if you're in a bad place, your body's going to be like, whoa, what's happening? This is not good. And, you know, make sure you're eating healthy food and make sure you're sleeping. I guarantee you, if you start taking a note every day about what you're putting into your body and how much sleep you're getting, I promise you that you're not getting enough sleep. And I promise you if you were to track back from the point, like I had one yesterday. And I was like, fuck, this is happening. And I was like, you know what? I didn't sleep for the past 2 weeks at all. Like, I slept 3 or 4 hours a night.
That's why.
You know, I'm like, why is this happening? Why? What the fuck? Like, well, you know, what did I, you know, it's like, oh yeah, I am not taking care of myself. And, you know, there's an amazing article on sleep, which I'll post here. But, you know, Roger Federer sleeps 12 hours a night.
Wow.
Because it has such a huge impact on performance. Sleep does. And they obviously, every athlete has like sleep coaches. I mean, it's like a huge part. It's a huge industry.
Yeah.
And the reason for that is sleep has a huge impact on your performance and on your just ability to function as a human being. So I went through like a 6 or 7 month phase trying to like figure out how to sleep less.
Yeah.
And actually, like, now I've come to the conclusion that I need to figure out how to sleep more. Yeah, like, how can I figure... I need to figure out a way to, like, take a nap during the day. Like, it's hard for me because I'm, like, really jacked up, but I want to figure out a way to, like, take a 20-minute nap because it enhances you.
Your brain, yeah.
It heals your brain.
I think that's one of the things that I've now trained myself to accept now. It took me a long time to recondition myself because I grew up, you know, in a kind of a stressed, probably quite a stressed environment. You know, I found school very stressful. I found waking up in the morning incredibly stressful when I was a teenager. I've always found waking up early stressful.
Yeah.
And then having to, like, you know, I worked in London for a bit. I had to, you know, waking up at 7 and getting on the underground and being on some horrible train, like, with, like, thousands of other people.
Yeah.
Just horrible, right?
Right.
And I just, my body basically said, "You, this is not for you. This lifestyle is not for you." And I've worked super hard to be an entrepreneur, to have some control over my time,
right?
And to when I get up and when I don't get up. But for years, even though when I was working for myself, I would still start. I would feel guilty about waking up late, or I'd feel like I'd get weird about sleep and be like, I can't take a nap because that's late. That's being lazy.
Sleeps for pussies,
right?
Yeah, so stupid.
And then
I had the same problem.
A couple of years ago, I got over it.
Yeah,
I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna get up whenever the fuck I want.
It's an age thing, I think, as well. When you get older, you're kind of like, you know, I don't need to impress anybody. I need to take care of myself.
I'm not trying to impress anybody. I'm not trying to show anybody that I'm, like, you know, Mr. Motivator.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go to sleep when I want to go to sleep. And I'm going to get up when I want to go. If I want to take a nap, I'm going to take a nap.
Part of it, though, is, I think, as well, like, the discipline of, like, for me, no caffeine. No caffeine. Like, I love coffee. No caffeine.
But can you, do you feel that you can, I feel like I can use caffeine.
Of course I can use caffeine, but the long story short, for my body, if I have caffeine in the afternoon, I'm awake.
You're wired.
I'm wired because I'm a person who's generally pretty wired, and I don't sleep well ever. Because I have so many things. Like, I've just, my body is just like, what are we doing? Why are we sleeping? We have stuff to do, kind of thing. I'm that kind of person. So if I, like, add, like, basically, like, an amphetamine to that, it's like, no bueno.
You're off to the races.
So, like, it's a discipline of, like, man, I really want a coffee now, but no coffee. It's a discipline of go to fucking bed, drink fucking water, eat healthy food. Like, every single day is what it is for me. Like, I think that that's a huge, like, having the structure, because naturally, like, I kind of resist. I resist, like, structure. I resist, like, I don't want to feel like a robot where, like, I've, like, but, like, it's really, like, have you had a glass of water, like, this in the last 15 minutes? Like, have you had, like, it's really, like, kind of forcing myself the discipline of all these things, because I know that if I don't do them, what happens?
Right.
And now I kind of have so much, like, respect for people who have had that structure their whole life, because I didn't. Like, some people are very, like, regimented, and I'm not at all. I'm kind of very free-spirited, but
regimented is boring.
It's very boring.
Yeah.
It's very boring. But you know what? I have a regimen every, like, before I did. Like, I would get up, take a shower, I'd brush my teeth. Like, you know, like, that's like, that doesn't feel like anything to me because I've done it for so many years. And I just wish I was the kind of person who could be like, you know, I do wake up pretty early because I have to, but I would prefer, I love to sleep. I love to sleep in, and it's just the best feeling. But it's more like discipline of going to bed. Like, that's a big thing for me. Like, forcing myself to sleep, try to get 7 hours, try to get 8 hours, like that. I'm not there. I'm still like at 4 or 5.
Hey, I think it's an ongoing process, you know. But this is the, I think, the lesson from that I have learned anyway, that all of this stuff is like, it takes fucking work. Like, it's not
work.
Easy. You know,
it's discipline.
You could call, you might even, it might be good to think of sleep almost as like a spiritual practice almost, right? In that. This stuff doesn't come, like meditation, right? You can call meditation, whatever you want to call it. If you want to call it spiritual, that's fine. That's cool. I don't, you know, I'm not really too hung up on words, description, right?
Yeah.
But meditation is a practice.
Yeah.
That you cannot, you can't just do meditation and then your problems are solved.
Right. Exactly.
It takes work to get to these mental states, mm-hmm. right? To get to these states of kind of zen,
yeah.
or like centeredness, right?
Yeah.
It takes a lot of work.
But it's like, totally worth it. It will save your life.
The benefits are amazing.
It will save your partner's lives. It will save your team members' lives.
But it's not, the thing is that it's so much harder than medication. Right?
Yeah, it's
but
so
it's
much harder.
So much better.
Yeah. At least I think there are people who genuinely need medication.
Sure, yeah.
I think
of course.
Out there, but like some people need to take like lithium or whatever for like.
Because they're too
yeah, for like
gone.
If they're bipolar or something. But for me personally, like the drugs had such a bad side effect that like within a couple of months, I was like, never doing that. I don't want to take those. So anyway, like we kind of have to leave it there. I just think that number one thing is please, please take care of your body. Please nurture and love your body and take care of it. Because it doesn't, the problems just add up and they don't go away. Just because you feel like you're not under stress doesn't mean you aren't. And it will creep up on you one day. And I hope no one should ever have happen to them what happened to me.
Yeah.
It's terrible. It's a horrible feeling.
Meditation, motherfuckers.
Yeah, meditate.
And water.
Sleep. You know, if you lose 7%, sorry, 2% of your hydration, you lose something like 30% of your cognitive function.
Really?
Like hydration.
It's big.
Everything. It's so important. And everyone's fucking dehydrated. Look at the color of your pee, man. What color is it? Is it clear? Yeah. Is it like disgusting?
Yeah.
Is it nasty? Mustard wee? Or do you have like a nice, beautiful, crystal clear urine?
One tip that I read once was that apparently one of the best ways of, some people drink a lot of water and they basically need to urinate a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But if you add a little bit of juice,
yeah,
just a little bit,
yeah,
you like flavor the water,
yeah,
your body actually
retains it better.
It's like take like coconut water,
yeah,
or the, you know, when they send like rehydration packs to people when
right
starving,
they put a little bit of salt
and sugar
in, yeah,
right, and it's when you have like a little bit of sugar or a little some electrolytes
right
your body
you absorb better,
yeah. Look into this. I'm not, again, not a dietitian, not a scientist, but I have
just
read...
Just a guy on a couch.
Just some dude on a couch who, you know, gets stressed sometimes.
Also, if you're thirsty, you're dehydrated. Isn't that a good lesson? If you are thirsty, you are dehydrated.
Interesting.
You should be ahead of your thirst.
Mm.
So you should never get thirsty. You should never be hungry. You should never be thirsty. Mm. If you're hungry, you're under stress.
Mm.
And if you're thirsty, you're under stress.
Okay.
All your body tells you everything you need to know. It's just we've been trained to ignore our body because it's like tough.
Because capitalism.
Yeah. Sleep is for pussies. Don't sleep.
Yeah.
If eating, you don't have time to eat.
Yeah.
That's for pussies. You're thirsty? Don't be a pussy. You know, honestly, like that is the mentality I had for 7 years or 8 years of my life. Maybe more. No, 20 years of my life.
Mm.
And there is absolutely no benefit to it. You can't go as far. You can't go as hard. You can't do as much. You can't be as creative.
Mm.
You can't be as good of a person. You can't help other people when you're hungry, thirsty, tired, stressed out.
Yeah.
So,
I think on that note, we were going to do a separate podcast for the patrons or how many of you guys
all of
are
them.
Supporting, all of you guys who are supporting the show.
Thank you.
We wanted to do a little bit on some strategies for getting out of the capitalist system and creating a less, more stress-free life for yourself, but actually how to make money doing it, right? And I think both of us have got some experience doing this, and I certainly have.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's what I think we wanted to talk about in the members-only section of the podcast.
Yeah.
I hope you guys have got something out of this. If not, I have.
I have as well. It's a good chat.
Yeah, it's a good chat.
Yeah.
This is what we're doing. We're here to have a chat. It's selfish as well as we're trying to provide a service to everyone, but also to ourselves because life is stressful.
Life is stressful.
And sometimes you need to have a chat.
And we're going to talk about specific strategies that will increase your ability to earn your income while living better and longer and being happier.
And getting out of the system.
Yeah,
that's, I think this is the aim for everyone, right?
Everybody
wants to get the fuck out of the system.
Yeah,
and I feel that there are solid ways of doing that.
100. I can tell you like how I did it, and or I kind of done it, or I'm working on it as always. But I can definitely give you some pretty good insight.
All right, so with that, we're going to go into the members only section, and you can find that on patreon.com/bantercast. So again, you can go to patreon.com/bantercast, or just go to Patreon and search for the Bantercast, and you'll find our amazing page and a bit more about what we're doing.
Yes.
But come join the tribe, and where Michael and I will be sharing tips with everybody on how to become a life gangster.
Life gangster.
Life
okay.
gangster. Thanks All right, everyone. Yep. Thank you.
Nice. Actually, we have...